This is Lester Graham. You know, when I'm not here on Stateside, I'm working for Michigan Radio's Environment Report. I've spent a fair amount of my career covering the Great Lakes, the North American Great Lakes. Right now, we're going to have a tiny Great Lakes to Great Lakes summit. My guest is Kevin Obiero. He's the director of Kenya's Marine and Fisheries Research Institute. He's in the U.S. to offer his insight into the African Great Lakes with researchers studying the North American Great Lakes. Welcome.
Thank you, Lester, for having me.
So how similar are the African Great Lakes to the North American Great Lakes?
First, apart from their size, we find that these lakes host diverse, valuable resources that are supporting the lives of thousands of people. In terms of economics, they really play a great deal in terms of benefiting the GDP of the countries. But apart from that, they are also similar in terms of their cross-national. You find that they cut across three or four nations. Like in the case of the African Great Lakes, it's more of like 11 nations. So there's an umbilical cord that is tying some of these lakes together. And you look at also the economics part of it, they are playing a very crucial part. And then environmentally, these lakes are also very, very crucial for sustaining some of the unique biota that are in some of these lakes.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. In our Great Lakes, there are threats of invasive species, loss of wetland habitat where the fish breed, agricultural, chemical, sewer plant spills. What kind of threats are there to the African Great Lakes?
Similar, I can categorize them into five categories. If I start with the environmental aspects, we have issues of pollution and eutrophication, a lot of rivers flowing in with a lot of nutrients. So over time, you have nitrogen and phosphorus levels so high, leading to algal blooms. That is now the ecological aspects leading to algal blooms is now a major challenge. Thick mat of green algae floating.
We're familiar with that.
Sure. And then you look at now the ecological aspects. There's been biodiversity loss. But looking at it, your flip side also, you have invasions coming in. I know the North American Great Lakes are dealing with the sea lampreys.
Yeah.
In our context, we're dealing with the Nile Perch. This was a species that was introduced in the 1950s. It was able to ecologically, you know, occupy a large percentage of the ecological niche over the years. But apart from causing the ecological, you know, disturbance, it was also like an economic savior in that it brought in a lot of, you know, economic resources. This is a fish that is highly traded, over $600,000 USD per year. So it's as you may try to look at it as an ecological disaster, it is also an economic savior. So we are still grappling with how to, what side.
We're familiar with that problem as well. So the economy of the North American Great Lakes is important because it's a water highway for cargo ships. And I know there's some cargo ships on the African Great Lakes as well.
Yes.
Fishing, of course, as you've been talking about, tourism, drinking water for something like 40 million people around the North American Great Lakes, among other things.
Yes.
How important are the African Great Lakes to the economy of the nations that border the lakes?
First of all, you will look at this is the epicenter of the population. So a lot of settlement, people coming into the lakes. So this is like one of it is livelihoods. Over 30 million people depend on the African Great Lakes, for example. That is the Lake Victoria Basin alone. So if you ever to extend it to the other seven African Great Lakes, it is over 50 million people depending on these resources. Secondly, they provide power. You have power generation. Like now Lake Victoria through Jinja, it offers a lot of power. Looking at Malawi context also, the water bodies also lead to the Victoria Falls, which is very, very good for touristic. So you have a lot of ecotourism, a lot of people coming in, enjoying a good time, but at the same time finding, you know, the ecotourism and also the ecological aspects. So it brings in a lot of economic aspects, the ecotourism, and also supporting diverse livelihoods. So in terms of livelihoods, I mean, can you be able to eat cheap protein food that is good, especially for the first 5 years? It is good to have, you know, the best protein source, which is cheap and easily available.
Now, I have visited an area that is far south of you. I was on the south end of Lake Malawi, a little place called Monkey Bay, and I was talking to environmental journalists there. They were telling me that there were concerns because it was being overfished, and they were trying to get some of the people who were fishing all year long to stop and maybe raise bees, keep bees for honey and things like that. how have people been able to adapt to other careers or supplemental careers when they were pretty reliant on subsistence fishing?
Yeah, this is something that we have been dealing with over the years, because as people come together close to these lakes, there's over exploitation. And definitely this leads to low catch. So you spend more of your time catching little. So you have to find an alternative. I think development agencies and also the local communities are now realizing that what can we diversify? Beekeeping is one crucial aspect, because you look at the economic aspect of it. It brings in more money. For example, a kilo of honey is worth a kilo of fish. So that one you are able to now buy. So these alternative livelihoods are now helping people to even buy the essential, you know, nets. Because if you are relying on the small fishes, they are not able to regenerate back. So if you are able to get another money elsewhere, then you can be able to buy legal nets, which can now be used for fishing. So the alternative is very, very crucial.
One of the things I was reading about is that there's a greater concern about global warming with the African Great Lakes.
Yes.
What kind of impact are you seeing?
We are seeing major, flooding taking place. In some seasons also, we have major droughts which are taking place. Previously, we used to know that this is the season of planting crops, but now has totally been distorted. So you are expecting to plant in February, and the rains come as late as March. So it distorts the natural cycle of how to do things. Then there is the how do we adapt to these measures? Sometimes it destroys the very, very livelihood. For example, the infrastructure. During flooding, a lot of roads are cleared. A lot of people lose their lives and also their property.
Can the research that you and your colleagues are conducting in the African Great Lakes and the research being done here help both continents find some ways to help both sets of Great Lakes and keep them in better shape?
Sure, Lester. One important thing is that, as we have seen, we are grappling with the same challenges. So we need to find common solutions to some of these challenges. The North American Great Lakes have this lake committee system. Can we harmonize our system? Secondly, is in terms of capacity building. You need expertise to improve on understanding data collection, long-term data collection, so that we can understand the trends and then now give better policy, measures. So one way of bringing this, these two organizations together, that is the African Research Institution and educational institutions coming together and partnering in terms of resource sharing. We have infrastructure, for example, down there. Can they come with their equipment? We use one of our boats to collect the data, which now long-term can be able to help us to understand the climatic impacts. Because these climatic, the models, as you are trying to develop them, we have global models, but you need to have local models which will help you to understand the rainfall patterns. When are we going to, rain? So this one will help now people to know, when am I going to plant my crops? When am I going to adapt to, some of these emerging challenges that we have? So I think bringing together this transboundary and disciplinary aspect has been a wealth of experience for us, and that is where the direction we are moving to. Through ACEA, that is the African Center for Aquatic Research and Education, we are now forming lasting and long-term vision. We want to bring in the African partners and let's come together and say, planning for 5 years may be good, but it's not good enough. So can we plan for like 10 years and 15 years? Because the SDGs are 15-year plans. They are 20-year plan. And climate change cannot be understood within a cycle of 2 years. So we want to now extend our thinking towards 5, 10-year, 15-year plan.
Kevin Obiero is the director of Kenya's Marine and Fisheries Research Institute. I want to thank you for coming in, and best of luck working with the African Center for Aquatic Research and Education here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure having me, and I thank you for this opportunity. Sure enough, we shall make an attempt to visit you again.